Welcome to the space show, Bill.
Thank you, Andrew.
You've been making antennae now, or antennas, for a number of years. The first ones, were they made in Australia?
No, clearly at the time we put the first station into Carnarvon, and then the second station went into Moree, New South Wales. The third one went into Ceduna in South Australia. At that time, we purchased all of those antennas from overseas. That industry did not exist here in Australia. In fact, at that time, there weren't many places in the world that it did exist, because these things had not really ever been built before. With the advent of that technology and the growth of the system, particularly within Australia, we recognized that we would need more antennas, partly because there were more Intelsat satellites in the sky, and partly because we needed to locate stations in new places to cater for the distribution of the traffic growth. With that in mind, OTC decided, rather than be beholden to overseas suppliers at all times, we thought that having achieved a fair degree of operational efficiency with our stations, we would, in simply running the stations, we thought that it might be worth our while actually designing our own. We put out a tender with that in mind. We put in our specifications, the ideas that we had learned in actually running these stations, and put a lot of work into how we would really like to see one of these stations set up. And an antenna design was put forward by McDonnell Wagner and the CSIRO, which met our specs. We then system engineered and had brought in subcontractors to actually manufacture that antenna. This was done on a very tight schedule to meet a very important date, which again driven by television, something that people thought would never really be much of an event.
Let's guess it's got to be either the Olympic Games or the World Cup soccer.
Well, it was one that was very important to a lot of Australians. This was the America's Cup Yacht Race in Perth in 1987. So OTC was faced with the dilemma of how to get television signals out to the world from that event. We built two new antennas, Australian-designed antennas, at Perth to cater for that television traffic. They went into service in 1987 and, again, were able to show the world the best that Australia had to offer. Unfortunately, for some people, the result wasn't quite what the Australians would have wanted, but the world certainly got a tremendous look at Perth and Western Australia, and really, I think that was one of the events that kicked off the tourist boom of the late 80s here in Australia.
Right. It's always fascinating looking at Intelsat's traffic figures. They show a steady growth over the years, don't they? But there are these strange peaks in the graph every few years. Those peaks being the Olympic Games and the World Cup soccer, major sporting events. And, of course, for Australian, in the Australian region, the America's Cup was one of those peaks.
That's quite true. It's very true that television coverage from Australia has grown in recent years. We now export television, where it used to be only one way. Used to be only coming in, world events coming here. But now, clearly, any time there's a major test match down here, the Palms certainly want to see it.
Right. Having got the experience in building these antennae, did you make any efforts to export this technology?
Export was not principally on our minds when we actually put the systems together in the first place. We had an expanding system within Australia. We needed to upgrade our stations. We needed to build more antenna to operate to the increasing number of Intelsat satellites in both the Indian and Pacific Ocean regions. So, as a result, we constructed a station at Oxford Falls, out in the northern suburbs of Sydney. We still have the station operating at Ceduna. We opened the station in Perth with the two antennas in time for the America's Cup Yacht Race. And we also have a station in Healesville, outside of Melbourne. So those are the major stations now within OTC's network. And as Intelsat puts up a new satellite, and as our international correspondents wish to direct traffic onto that satellite to and from Australia, we need to put in a new antenna to service that satellite. So this has led to an increase in the number of antennas in our system, and certainly has stimulated the growth within Australian industry. Through this process, however, we've recognized that we've come up with a fairly good product. And this has been recognized lately by a number of other countries around the world, and we've recognized our skills in that to a degree we hadn't really known before. And also some change in government legislation allowed us to go offshore for business, which we previously had been restricted from doing. This was in the 86-87 time frame. With that change, we did start seeing whether we could sell our product overseas, and we have had some very good results with that. Many of the listeners might recognize that, or might know that we've signed up a major contract for telecommunications with Vietnam. We have currently built, I believe it's now 3 Earth stations there, and there's another one currently under construction. We also have a hand in operating the communication systems in Vietnam and providing them with links to the outside world. We've also built stations in such places as Antarctica, which was quite an engineering feat, and I think any of our listeners who witnessed the TV show on Australia, I can't think of the name of it at the moment, but
Australia Live for the Bicentennial.
Yes, thank you for that. There was a scene that came down from Antarctica. Well, that was again over one of OTC's antennas.
I remember it quite clearly.
Yes. It was a very good segment, I thought, too, of the show.
Actually, as you were just telling me that, I was sitting there wondering now, okay, other than a few scientists and penguins, what traffic would there be from Antarctica?
But that's just the point. It is basically the scientific data that they need. And we simply put the station in to serve the needs of Inarisat, the Antarctic Research Organization, that are down there on a regular basis. So this provides data links to get the scientific data back to Australia, and also some voice links to keep them in touch with their loved ones through the years.
So the days of being down there and no mail for 6 months are well and truly over?
No, that's still the case. There is no mail for 6 months, but at least they,
electronically they can
communicate, yes.
So they can get faxes and telephone calls, obviously.
Yes. Right. One of the while Antarctica is a special place and a very difficult environment to construct antennas in, we've actually gone to the other extreme as well with many of the Pacific Island nations around the Pacific Rim, or actually the middle of the Pacific. There we have a different environment, tropical heat, and our antennas have to be able to withstand the extremes of temperature from both sides. The salt air and environment often creates a unique set of problems, which are addressed in a different way down in Antarctica.
One thinks of these antennas being terribly expensive. Obviously, a large population like Sydney, Melbourne, and so on can support such an expense. But what about a small Pacific island with only perhaps a few hundred, few thousand population? Can they afford satellite communications?
One of the biggest problems with the Pacific Islands that we encountered was many of those nations simply could not afford to establish a telephone call between the two sites. This was simply because the way the international system works, you must take a fixed channel and pay for it on a yearly basis. Now, if you only have 5 phone calls a year between two islands, you're not ever going to pay for that call, or never going to pay for that link. This was retarding communication in those areas, and it was a major problem, a severe problem for all of those. OTC has done, over the years, a lot of advising and consulting for these nations in telecommunications, and we recognized this problem and took it on board. And we're able to solve it with what we call a demand-assigned multiple access network. Now, the idea of this was to have enough telephone links on an annual basis that were shared by the various cooperating parties within this network. And the network is now called the Pacific Area Cooperative Telecommunications Network. The idea being that there are several channels held in a common pool. When a nation wants to, when someone wants to call another island nation, they set up their call, which is directed through the satellite to a hub station located at our Oxford Falls site in Sydney. This then allocates a particular chunk of that capacity to the call between the two nations. that stays between the two for the duration of the call, and then when the call is completed, it goes back into the common pool. And the economics of this system are such that it's allowing telecommunications traffic between some of these island nations for the first time.
And of course, once they have it, they'll use it more and more, just like we have.
Precisely.
Thank you for joining us today on the Space Show, Bill.
Thank you, Andrew. It's always a pleasure to be here.